Okay, we're going to, this week and next week, there's no Sunday school. Tony, would you turn it down just a tick? At least in my ear, I hear a ring. Maybe it's just the echo off the back. I don't know. It's ringing. Okay. Number 15, I think. Test, test, one, two. Okay, that's better. So we're gonna take a look at Psalm 20 and Psalm 21. Those are going to be, they're kind of a pair of psalms, and you'll see this as we go. So that's why I printed. If you end up taking notes, one's on the front and one's on the back. The sheets are back there on the stand if anybody needs that. We don't have Sunday school next week, but we will the week after. So we're going to look at Psalm 20, and then the weekend of Christmas, we usually take that Sunday school period off. And then the week after that, we'll look at Psalm 21. So let's read this. We're going to read this a couple times together. Those of you who have done these Bible studies with me, you know that I recommend you grab a pen or something and mark those, the repeated words that show up there. Find all of those, and we'll be talking about those because that's the important, some of the important ideas that we're going to be looking at. So Psalm chapter 20, to the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with his saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. All right, I'm going to read it again from the top. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Yahweh, save the king. May he answer us when we call. All right, what are a couple of the repeated words and phrases that show up there? May the Lord. May the Lord. May he do lots of things. Answer. What else? Anything else there? Trust. All right, what verses is that? Well, actually, let's look at answer. What verses were answer in? Verse 1, 6, 9. And then we had, Andrew said trust. What verses did you find trust in? Verse 7. And if you look at Psalm 21, which we're going to do next week, but I'll just mention this, several of those same ones are going to come up in Psalm 21 right after this. Anything else that was repeated in there? May. Why is May repeated in there? What is this? What's the psalm about? A benediction? You might mean a petition. Yeah, great question. Who is the audience? That's one of our questions we need to answer today. You're wishing for hope, granting, giving hope. Well, who is the? Let's look and see what is he? What's he asking? May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Who is you? Those who are displaying acts of worship, the ones offering sacrifices. Now, this is cheating. This is hard to see in the English. The you is singular in those first several verses. So may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. All of these yous are the singular. They're pointing at someone. They're praying for somebody. Yes. Yeah, so the Messiah or the Anointed. And remember, a couple weeks ago we talked about this in the sermon from Mark, that Christ, Anointed, and Messiah are all the same word. So he is praying for the Anointed One. So in verse 4, May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. Okay, so the prayer is coming from a we. It's coming from a group of people. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And so now we have a shift right here. So verses 1 through 5, you know, if we were outlining this, verses 1 through 5 are a bit different than verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Okay, so I think there's a little bit of back and forth there. At least verse 9, O Lord, save the king, may he answer us when we call. At least verse 9 is back to the we talking again. What do you think about 6, 7, and 8? So we know verse 6, one person is talking. What about 7 and 8? Are they go along with 6? The king, yeah. So, yeah, so the anointed one, or the Hebrew word is Messiah, he would be the king. And look at the very top, who wrote this psalm? David. Who is the king? Now, what? Just looking at this, can we find any clues about what's the context? What's the prayers? What's the salvation for? Good job. Did everyone hear what he said? It's for a day of battle. They're praying to the Lord. And they're saying, they're praying for the anointed one. May he answer you. May he give you salvation. May he fulfill your plans and your desires. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And salvation sometimes is translated deliverance, that the Lord's going to deliver him. And I think verse 7 does give us a clue there, that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I think it is about battle. When we were, let's see, this would have been, I think we had just moved here to St. Joe, and I went and visited a couple missionary friends, one in Romania and then one in Uzbekistan. And when we went to Uzbekistan, we went and saw some castles and some grounds that were built by Amir Temur. Anyone know Amir Temur? He was kind of the Napoleon who doesn't make Western history as much. Temurlane. Yeah, he was a ruthless conqueror. But what I remember is when we were, you know, he had his castle tower over here, and we walked out on this huge courtyard. It was probably twice as big as this area, and it's all brick paved and everything. And it still has this ancient, it looked like a huge goblet. I don't know how, 3 feet across, 4 feet across, something like that. And our tour guide said, this is where they would fill this with wine as the troops were getting ready to leave the city to head out to battle. And so they would fill this, and all the troops would come by, and it was blessed by the priests, and they would all take a drink out of this for good luck or good blessing from their gods. And I mean, they had some Islam and folk Islam, but they were taking this. This is part of their ceremony, part of their preparation for war. Well, in Israel, what would you do in preparation for war? David, the anointed, would be offering sacrifices. You begin war with worship. You begin war praying to God, offering sacrifices, devoting yourself to him and his cause. And so, in verse 3, when the people are praying, may he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. He could be talking about, may he remember all your faithfulness, that you've been faithful, that you've been offering sacrifices, that you are a faithful worshiper of him. It could be more specific, that you've been offering sacrifices this morning, and we're praying, may the Lord remember those sacrifices. May he smell that pleasing aroma right now and answer you from heaven. Verse 1, it could be broader than that, that may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. But in Psalm 21, we're going to see the result on the other side of the battle. So I tend to think that this is referring to, this is just part of the preparation for war that day. Yeah, Jenny's question. So in verse 5, would that be the banners, the flags that you carry into battle? I think yes. I think that's a good observation. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May he give us victory here. They're carrying their banners in, and don't let them fall. Let them be established. We want to plant those banners in this land. Look at back at verse 6, 7, and 8. You know, we could put, if we were grouping the verses together, we could put 6 through 8 here, or we could put 7 through 9 here. Does it look like 7 and 8 are part of what the anointed one is saying? Somebody's car alarm going off. Or is it part of the response of the people? He's back to saying we. So if you want to take your pen in there, you can draw a little line between verses 5 and 6, because we've got a little change there. Verses 1 through 5, I labeled it as, may Yahweh answer you. Yeah, that's one of those ones. If you look up the little Selah in the... Yeah, it's really divided. If you look in commentaries, they think that's maybe what it means. Maybe it means a musical interlude. Maybe it means repeat. Maybe it means pause to reflect here. Yeah, we're frankly just not sure, because there haven't been any documents preserved that give explanatory notes on what it is, and the scriptures themselves don't give us a lot of clues. So anyway, I put verses 6, 7, and 8 together as the anointed one's response, and had it something like, he will answer. I mean, verses 6, 7, and 8 to me sound like David's confident trust in the Lord. And he's encouraging the people. And you can kind of imagine them as they're preparing for battle, that they're praying, they've been offering sacrifices, they're worshiping together, and they're going through this psalm saying, may the Lord grant you these things. May he remember your sacrifice. May he do this. And then David turns around and he responds to them, yes, yes, I know that the Lord remembers his anointed. I know that he will deliver us. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we are going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. Can you hear David talking back to the people in this way? And then at the end, verse 9, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. And so on verse 9, it just said, they're praying again for the Lord to answer us. Yahweh, answer us. But you do have, in each one of those sections, you do have that, they're asking for the Lord to answer them. Going to read through the whole thing one more time. Now that we've got a little bit of context in your mind, you can try to imagine the scene as they're doing this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifice, all your offerings, and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And then I think David answers them back. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. And then all the people together, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yep.
However, a prophet sees into the future, it kind of sounds like he's speaking to Solomon. You know, as you're going on to become the king of this nation, but of course we know he's also speaking about the Messiah, the real Messiah.
Yeah, so Dave's comment is he thinks that it could sound like David has in mind not only his rule and reign, but also his lineage, Solomon's, and then ultimately we can see Christ. Yeah, one of my big questions thinking about answer us, I mean, this is crucial to the whole psalm. We want the Lord to answer us. Where does this kind of confidence come from that the Lord will answer his anointed? Why can David pray like that?
Experience.
The Lord's been faithful to him and delivered him many times. Yep, we see that in Samuel. The now I know. Yeah, so Matt's saying that this could be the expression of, this is faith talking right here. This is his personal confidence. Hold on just a sec. Yeah. Yes. Yep. I think that's the direction I want to go with that same thing. Dave, do you want to say something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave's saying he Goliath. Yeah, he's saying that David's, the history of David's life shows that God does deliver him. He is faithful to that. And I think it does tie back to what Ryan was saying, these covenant promises that God has given to him. Even in that line, verse 6, he says, "Now I know the Lord saves his anointed." Well, the anointing was when God sent his prophet Samuel to anoint David. And he was anointed representing God's choosing of him. And then as we see in 2 Samuel 7, he gives him this covenant and says, "I'm going to be to you a father, you're going to be to me a son. I'm going to establish your house, your name, and your throne forever and ever." And this is also the people of Israel who are living in the land that God's given them. And so as long as they are trusting in the Lord, they have every reason not to possibly hope, but to know for certain the Lord is going to deliver us, not because of us, but because of what he's promised us. He has promised us this land. He has promised this king that he will rule over his enemies. And, you know, as we're reading through the book of Psalms, we've already passed Psalm 2. Psalm 2 that says, "I have established my anointed, I have set him on my holy hill." And he's already given the command to all the nations to come and make peace with him. And through his anointed, he is going to shatter his enemies. And through his anointed, he's going to bless whoever comes to make peace. And so David understands these promises of God. He's relying on them, and he says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." We're trusting in the one who has revealed himself to us, who's committed himself to us, who's gave us these covenant promises. I think that's what it means that when he says, "We trust in the name of the Lord our God." He's the one who's revealed himself to Moses and to the people of Israel. He's revealed his name. He's pledged himself and given himself to this people, Israel. And along those lines, I want to point out too, just like in Psalm 2, the terror of the nations is that they've got to deal with this king. And the hope of the nations is that they can go make peace with that king and receive God's blessings. And even in this prayer, the people of Israel, they understand that all of their hope and their future is tied into that one king. And so as they're praying, "Lord, give him what he's praying for. Give him salvation. Give him deliverance. May the Lord remember all of his sacrifices and all of his offerings." And so verse 5 is of their prayer. So they're praying for all these things. And then in verse 5, "May we shout for joy over your salvation." Because they know that if the Lord delivers the king that they're following, the king that they're attached to, it means their deliverance. And so verse 9, likewise, "O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call." Well, there's a lot we could say right there about Christ, isn't there? The hope of of us receiving salvation and deliverance is all tied to Jesus. I mean, let's read this one time, thinking about Jesus. Jesus, who is the King, who is coming to conquer his enemies, who is coming to conquer our enemies, who has already conquered Satan and sin and death. May the Lord answer you, Jesus, in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Is the Lord going to protect his son? And it says he's going to command his angels concerning him, and he's not going to let him strike his foot on a stone. Though 10,000 rise up against him, he's going to stand fast. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Does God remember and recognize the prayers of his son, the pleadings and the intercession that his son makes? Jesus says, the Father always hears my voice. I always do what pleases him. God always listens to Christ. May he grant you your heart's desire, and fulfill all your plans. Okay, what desire or what plans does Jesus have? There's probably a lot of answers we could give here. What are some of the plans that Jesus talks about in the Gospels? Yes, the big desire, the overarching desire, if you didn't hear that. I have come to do the will of him who sent me. I didn't come to glorify myself. I came to glorify my Father. He's got plans to give his life as a ransom for many. He's got plans to seek and save the lost. He's got plans to suffer and bleed and die for sinners and to be resurrected and to be seated at the right hand of the Father and to bring all nations into his kingdom. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Petitions means the things Jesus is asking, or the things David is asking. May we shout for joy over your salvation. Isn't that what the resurrection is? When Christ is resurrected from the dead, the grave no longer has power over him, cannot hold him anymore. There's our victory right there. We shout for joy when he's victorious, because we know also in his victory, we're going to have victory. We're going to have the same victory that he had. And then listen to 6 and 7 and 8 from Jesus' perspective. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. We're reading through the Gospel of John in our house, and you just think of all the times that Jesus is having these encounters with the Pharisees, and they're saying, we don't know where you came from. He's like, well, I've come from heaven. I've been sent from my Father. I've come to do the will of the one who sent me. I'm sent from him. I belong to him. I'm the Son. He's my Father. I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He knows exactly that the Father is going to care for him and protect him and uphold him and deliver him. And just as David was given covenant promises from the Lord, Jesus has been given lots of promises from the Lord. And so Jesus tells his people, he tells us, the Lord is going to save me. He's not going to leave my body to die. He's not going to leave it in Sheol, as the psalm says. But he's going to raise me up. He's going to deliver me. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And these are words of comfort for us. He's encouraging and exhorting us. Don't trust in chariots. Don't trust in horses. With me, come with me and put your trust in the name of the Lord. They will collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. And then the response of the people, yes, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. And you know, there's a lot of those prayers that we still pray today. That we still pray, Lord, give to your son the inheritance that you have promised him. Give to your son more and more worshipers out of every tribe and language and people and nation on this earth. Lord, give to him the glory of the kingdom. Don't let his enemies stand against him. You've promised that you are going to deliver. You've promised that you are going to bring all of his enemies under his feet. Lord, bring his enemies under his feet. That's what we're praying when we say, let your kingdom come. Let the influence and the power and the authority of Jesus come and take over more and more ground and more souls on this earth. A couple verses I jotted down out of the New Testament as I was reading this. Ephesians 3:20. Does anybody remember this? Because in Psalm 20, verse 4, he says, may God grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. You remember, anyone remember Ephesians 3:20? Now to him who is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. And 2 Thessalonians 1:11 is very similar. Got to turn there, open the page. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. You know, our confidence to pray is when we're connected to Christ. The confidence that the Lord is going to hear. He is going to deliver. He is going to answer those prayers and petitions. And Paul's praying right here, may he fulfill every resolve of yours for good. Well, in 2 weeks, it's 10:20. In 2 weeks, we're going to continue in Psalm 21, which is the flip side of the, not just the flip side of the page, but it's the flip side of this of the battle where the Lord has delivered him. So, all right, we'll take a break before our worship service.